What is up, internet? Welcome to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, where we try and bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. I am Chad. I believe I have Brett and Andy, and I don't care who says what in what order. How are you, gentlemen?
Brett is good. How are you, Chad?
Brett is speaking in third person this evening.
We have a guest, so he has to sound important, I think.
That's what it is. He's trying to make himself
important, professional, not a jerk.
Yeah. I only know people that speak in third person. The only ones I know are jerks, so you're kind of missing the mark there.
Hey, the Rock spoke in third person a lot when he was cutting promos. Is he a jerk?
You know, I don't know The Rock. I know his character, and he played that very well. So,
I think Brett should continue to speak in third person for the duration of this episode.
You want to see if he could do that?
Brett's really confused already, but we'll see how Brett does.
I'd put money on that he can't, but I mean,
I don't know.
I'm losing money, he might be able to. So
yeah, I mean, I was gonna say if there was money on it, I think Brett would try very hard to refer to himself as Brett all evening.
Brett's done.
Brett, what?
Brett is done.
Especially given that Brett is on a leave of absence from work, Brett would look at any opportunity to secure some fundage at this point, right, Brett?
Well, it's actually really funny. Before I came on with you guys tonight, I was in a conference that I was invited to by a former CFL running back who played in Toronto.
Michael Pinball Clemens?
No, not Michael Pinball Clemens. Chad Owens. And
that's the second best Chad you know.
You this first best Chad that I know.
I don't mean to interrupt you, and I'm not a CFL fan, but Chad Owens didn't play running back.
Wide receiver, running back, slot back, they are all a position on the field of importance. Well, in any event, he invited me to a conference on what's it called? That app that I've been using. It's called Zoom. Oh, go figure. On Zoom, and I didn't realize that there was going to be 40 other people on the call. And
Did you think you were getting a private audience with a CFL celebrity?
Yeah, kind of.
And then it was a private audience plus 39 more?
Yeah, and they were talking about Forex trading.
What?
I didn't understand it either.
I don't know what that means.
It's basically money trading.
Oh, Bitcoin?
No, well, Bitcoin is part of it. Yes,
gentlemen. Right. I don't mean to interrupt, but we do have a guest tonight. Yeah. I don't want to be respectful.
Yeah, so. We should maybe introduce our guest this evening before we go down that rabbit hole, and the world finds out how much I don't know about Bitcoin. Not that I try to sound smart on these things, because that's not possible. But anyways, Brett, we are glad you're with us from the beginning, and I'm sorry that your meeting did not go as you were anticipating.
That's okay. Brett is hopeful.
Brett, that's right. Brett is hopeful. All right. From Brett, we go to Britt. I want to introduce Brittany Myers to the world, to the internet, have you here is a pleasure. And this kind of was a real organic sort of thing. It wasn't really planned up until about a week ago. And I'll sort of get into what brought you here. But first of all, say hi to the entire internet, Britt, because that's fun.
Hello, entire internet.
There you go. See, she's taking things very literal as well. So a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into why you're here and what you have to do with the Team Ability No Excuses podcast tonight. But introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know who you are, but I know the other two members of my team don't know you from a hole in the wall. So tell the internet a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm a university student. I actually went to Mohawk a couple years ago for pharmacy technician. And then from there, I decided that I wanted to expand my scope. So I decided to go to Brock University to just follow myself and learn more about what I wanted to do. And I'm trying to eventually become a physician assistant. And halfway through that, you know, you have to take courses. And one of them was this Canadian course, which really interested me. And that's kind of what landed me here, really, was because I ended up writing an essay about disability and how it's portrayed in media sources. And just like the accuracy and the disparity between all of it.
That's awesome. So this is the part where I get to tell the whole internet that we were sourced as a we were sourced for an academic paper. I was like, yeah, we've accomplished something in our lives. So well done, boys. Well done, Andy and Brett too. Why not?
But it's funny because you two were sourced before I even came along.
So Brett didn't matter.
Are you sensing something there, buddy? Like, does that?
No, I'm hoping we can raise the bar and that we're sourced more than once.
Actually, I panicked a little bit because when I was listening to your podcasts over the past couple of weeks, I was like, who is Brett? Did I forget to source him in my essay? Did I like totally skip over his voice somehow? Like,
you are the forgotten one, Brett. Sorry, buddy.
So Brett, how did you find out about the podcast? Like, how did that all happen?
So my essay was basically write it on a like a movie or something to do with media that represented disability in a sense that wasn't represented accurately. And then I also needed, because it was a Canadian course, I needed a source that was Canadian, and I kept humming and hawing about it for a while. And I had asked my boyfriend Marco, I was like, do you know where I could find a good Canadian source that shows disability and either represents it very accurately or very inaccurately? Like, I just need something to
I won't ask which use. One we were.
And he actually was like, yep, I know exactly what to give you. It is Chad and his friend Andy. They have a podcast. It's Canadian. It's all about disability, this and that. And I was like, this is gold. This is amazing. I cannot wait. And I was like, how am I going to get to it? He's like, here you go. Google Podcast, Spotify. There you go. You're set up. You can listen to all of it. And that's just when I jumped right into it. And I've tried to listen through it through most of the episodes or chime in every now and then to them to just keep following up with it, because using it in my essay, I really did enjoy listening to your episodes about, you know, either living with disability or what challenges you guys are facing right now, or just even stuff that's going on a daily basis. So that's how I found out about it.
Cool. Shout out to Marco for the shameless plug. Marco and I go way back. I was in high school with not with Marco because I'm much older. I'm an old man. But I was in high school with Marco's sisters, and I've been close with the family for quite a while. And so thank you, Marco, when you're listening, not if. Thank you for mentioning us and having Britt get in touch with me. So Britt got in touch with me as she was writing the paper, and then said, you know, can I use you guys as a source? Here's what's kind of going on. And of course I just said yes, because I, you know, why not? I thought it was really cool, and I was honored to be asked. And then I won't lie, Britt, I totally forgot about it. And I think you said you were, you know, doing some cleaning up a little while ago and came across the paper, and I was like, oh yeah, there's this. So I forwarded it to the guys, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I was just cleaning out my MacBook, and I was like, oh, I totally forgot to send this to Chad, and I said I would, and I did not do it. It's been a year, but it's better to send it now than never, right?
That's it. And I didn't ask you, did you get a good grade on the paper?
I did. I received a really good grade, so I was even more happy to share it with you, because if I got a bad grade, we would have pretended like it never existed.
Fair enough.
So listen, there are a lot of sources you could have used, right? So it's a pretty big, I'm going to pat myself on the back, because like the first name I think of if I'm thinking disability in Canada would be like Rick Hansen or something, right? But you decided to go with us, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I felt that when I had chose a representation that I kind of was on a level with, where I knew someone who was doing the podcast or knew of the people, it really made me excited to do the essay, because I no longer was just writing an essay behind like almost like a glass window. It was like I was almost right there being able to listen to people that I know who, you know, have disability, and hearing their voices and hearing, you know, what they've overcome and their thoughts on it and just everything to go with it. It made me very excited to write it, knowing that it was local to where I live, and it was people that I kind of know through word of mouth or on a personal level. So it made me very excited to be able to write and use you guys as a source for sure.
Very cool.
That's awesome, Andy. That was the first name that I was going to say too. And I was fighting the urge, as I always do, to try to, you know, steal people's thunder and talk too much on this thing. When you had mentioned, you know, the most famous person with a disability, my mind will forever go to Rick, and then, you know, Terry Fox and stuff like that. So very cool, Britt, that you were able to certainly make it more personal for yourself, and hopefully you were able to find, you know, some stuff that was relatable for you. You know, we've kind of had this sort of tagline in the episodes of, you know, real talk surrounding matters of disability with no excuses. We just try and be as transparent as possible. And it's really cool. We've said this in the past, when people find inspiration in what we do or what we've said or some of the things that we've overcome. But I mean, that's not, it's never been one of our goals, right? We just look to try and be as transparent as possible and portray ourselves in the most accurate light as possible, whether it's positive or I suppose whether it's not sometimes, who knows?
Well, yeah, for instance, when I was writing my essay and I had listened to one of the episodes and Andy had asked you, like, oh, do you think you got your job because like because you have a disability, or what did you think? And you're like, I hope not. Like, I have the credentials for it. Like, I feel like I was made and trained and taught to do my job correctly. And, you know, that's like, people usually see that and they're like, oh, that's, you know, that's so good. But it's like, no, it's how life works. You know, if you want to have that job, you have to go and get it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just like some things like that stuck out to me. And I feel like not everybody takes those things in a sense where, you know, it's just like how, like what we do as able-bodied people, like people with a physical disability, they can do just the same. And it shouldn't have to be, and I don't want to offend anybody, but it shouldn't have to be like big.
You don't have to worry about that on this podcast.
You know, like a big parade about it. It's just like, this is a person. And they went to school, they got their credentials, and they got a job. Like, they're made for it. They can do it. They are like anybody else.
Yeah. That was, again, and you mentioned writing this paper probably over a year ago. So that was an earlier episode. And I remember that conversation with Andy. You know, Andy, I think you said something along the lines of, you know, you don't think you didn't get the job just to fill a quota, right? It's not a token.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a token thing by the board or anybody. You know, it's a genuine belief that, you know, I'm as deserving as anybody else. And Brett, I know you've been there. You've had to fight for yourself and for your own employment and advocate for yourself. And we've been open about that in past episodes about how, you know, you didn't necessarily have to, you know, have a position created for you. You deserved it. You went out and you got it. And so.
Well,
that as well.
And I mean, our listeners know that, with full disclosure, that my education is not nearly as high as yours, and I'm not nearly as driven as Andy. Maybe I am. that's probably debatable now that I think about it. But I knew people. And I went out and I kind of just I put a wing or I put a prayer on a wing. And just I asked somebody if they had room for me within their company, not knowing what they were going to hand me. And everybody knows now that 5.5 years later, I'm working in a warehouse as a guy in a wheelchair, which I don't care about. it's extremely rare.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've had chats like this before, and I want to circle back to Britt in a second. But I mean, you would be, and I mean this with all due respect, you know, I love you like a brother. You'd be the last person that I think anybody would expect to be, you know, to see sitting in a factory, you know, doing your job. And I mean, sitting in a literal sense.
Well, and it's really funny, guys, because we have temporary workers coming in and out of our factory all the time because And obviously, nobody wants to do factory work. But when you're looking for a job and you go to the temp agency, they hand you factory work. And I'm literally probably the second person everybody sees when they walk in the door in our factory. And I often think to myself, what are these guys thinking when they walk in the door? Is it, what the hell have I got myself into? Or is it, I better work out because there's the guy in the wheelchair and I'm sure he's been here for a while. And if I screw up, I'm going to be embarrassed for the rest of the day.
And would it really be, that's a point too. Like, would it really be more embarrassing for them, you know, to be, have their job done better than, you know, by somebody who sits down while doing it? Like, is it, you know, or did you just do the job better because that's who you are, right? Who knows?
Well, and I laugh when we have our temporary workers come in and they last a day, 2 days or 5 days, whatever, because they quote unquote can't handle the job.
Yeah.
and I think I want to suggest that it's more of a character thing than anything.
Yeah.
Or a motivation thing or a lack of motivation thing.
Sure.
But it's just stuff like that, maybe as sickening as it sounds, actually drives me to work harder than I do.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't it, right? You use it as motivation, you would use it as fire. That's how I would turn it around too, to just keep succeeding at the level that you are, right? You use that as fire and motivation for sure.
We've said it before. One of the coolest things about doing this podcast is people that listen aren't necessarily people with disabilities. It's people like yourself that want to kind of gain perspective into what we're doing.
I'd be really actually quite interested to see it. I think as we continue to strive to make these episodes and put content out there, you know, I love that we have, you know, quite a few able-bodied listeners as well. And again, because I wouldn't want to, you know, there's that old saying about preaching to the choir, right? I don't think we set out to make the podcast, you know, a niche market, you know, just kind of speaking to those with disabilities. But I think, as you said, you know, hopefully we have quite a few listeners who listen to gain that perspective and say sort of, I never thought about it this way. And so, yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out if it was, you know, 50-50 or a 60-40 or, you know, an 80-20 split, whatever it was. As an able, and again, I don't maybe want to, you know, I'm not going to have you read your paper on the air or anything, Britt, but as you were sort of diving into a couple episodes and kind of using us as a source for content, you've kind of mentioned some of the things that you like. As an able-bodied listener, is there something that has sort of caught you off guard or surprised you about what we said, or a moment where you're like, no, I never thought about that? And I know you have a personal connection to those with disabilities, and I'll get to that in just a second. But has there been a moment for you where you were like, hey, I never thought of that until, you know, these schmucks brought it up on the podcast?
Actually, yeah, there was actually a time when I was listening, and it was, you're talking about transportation, and it was, you were saying, you know, you're waiting for the bus, and instead of them just stopping and saying like, hey, there's another bus coming, they like just drive past you, like your schedule yeah. couldn't be as important as mine or as anybody yeah. else's or the bus driver, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And I'd never had thought about that, like, because I remember taking the bus too before I was able to get my license. And I remember, like, when there was a full bus, or even now when I'm busing at school because I don't have a parking pass or whatever, you yeah. know, they will stop and they'll be like, hey, there's another bus that's 5 minutes down the road. It'll right. stop for you, you know?
Yep.
And I have thought about it too, because there has been times where I'm waiting at the bus stop and a bus full of students will just drive right by and they won't even say anything. And I just sit there like, okay, like, I guess I don't, like, no one can just tell me like, hey, you know, hold on just a minute, someone's coming to get you. It's almost they shield their eyes, like, I can't see you. Like, so, you know, and it just gets to that point where it, like, I just kind of reflect almost, like, there'll be times where, like, I'm doing either like something on my day-to-day basis and something from the podcast will just pop in my mind, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, and I had mentioned in my essay that, like, you know, because like which model is it? I'm pretty sure it's the it's a social model. So the social model says that disability is something that we place upon people. Mm. So it's not like saying you are disabled. It's saying that seeing someone with a physical disability, you automatically say, yes, they're disabled, you know? And they have like the difference, like, for instance, listening to a podcast, you guys, you're on here, you're chatting, talking to people, having like normal conversations, nothing's out of the ordinary. And as an able-bodied person, you would never know that any of you were to have a disability. And like that automatically takes away that whole like sheet that's in front of you almost. You don't look at someone with a disability when you're hearing them just, you know, going about their daily like habits or talking on the podcast, you know, and it can be shown almost to like with people that have like, you know, depression or anxiety or schizophrenia. Like, when you look at those people, yes, they have a disability, you know, and you're looking at them, seeing them move, interact, and you don't think of that disability. So it, a lot of it is just realizing that what you're placing upon people and like the automatic almost judgment, but not in a judgment sort of way, you place on people to, you know, say like, oh, this person's disabled or this person isn't disabled, when it could be either or. Like, you don't always have a definite answer. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I had many experiences like that. I don't blame anybody. It is what it is. If you, you know, we've chatted openly, the three of us, about our careers, and we're three very different people in three very different lines of work. So, you know, just speaking from a personal standpoint with me, and I've said this to Andy, I've said this on the podcast before, I don't doubt for a second that one of the starting points for my students when they talk about their music teacher is that I use a wheelchair, right? Like, and it's not, there's no fault against the kids. I don't, you know, I'm not mad at them. I don't, like, you know, why don't you tell them what a good teacher I, and it, that, I, it's whatever. It's just, that's no, how that's the just conversation how, starts, right? And
it's how kids go too, right? Like, if you had any other teachers, like, oh, I have a teacher, she has really long blonde hair. Like,
yes,
some kids are just like, yeah, I have a male teacher, he's in a wheelchair and he has brown hair and this and that. Like, it's just, it's just a descriptive. It's not necessarily, he's in a wheelchair, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with kids. They're so cute sometimes. The
way they describe things. And again, we've talked about it before. I'm at a point in my career now where I have taught everyone from kindergarten to grade 12. So I'm in the entire public school system, and I've seen all the reactions, and certainly they go from, I've discovered that they go from, you know, the innocence of kids being kids to the high school kids initially, you know, it's not so much innocence. It's they'll want to know, they'll understand the disability and they'll want to know how much I'm capable of and whether or not I can do this and that and the other, you know. So I think it goes with the territory. And again, you just try and be the best model of a person that you can, regardless of, you know, any sort of physical ailment.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you're making us feel pretty good about ourselves tonight, Britt. That's not why we had you on the podcast. I want to be clear. We didn't do this for our own egos. At least I didn't. Maybe Brett did.
I don't think I even have an ego.
You have an ego. It's pretty big.
Can you turn your volume up? I can't hear you. I thought you said that I have an ego.
I said you have an ego and it's pretty big.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
I love it. Oh boy. All right. I want to, we're getting off the rails here. So I want to circle back. I know that you have a bit of a personal connection, to somebody. Well, it's not a bit of a personal connection. It is, but, somebody with a disability. And when you told me, that you had listened to our podcast, with this person, and I'll let you sort of take point on it, but that kind of made my day too, because again, we never, you know, this was, and I've said from the beginning, this thing was Andy's baby. He came up with this idea. He knows I like to talk and wanted me to be a part of it. And then, you know, a few episodes in, we brought Brett in and we haven't been able to get rid of him. No, I'm kidding, Brett. What's that? Sorry, internet. Yeah. No. And again, things that I think genuinely have really picked up steam as we've gotten the three of us together, and gotten more guests on and stuff. But, you know, we didn't set out to make this podcast for people with disabilities, and we didn't set out to make it for people who don't. We hope that there is something in this for everybody. So if I can, I'd like to have you tell us a little bit about, I think it's your niece, and some of the listening that you've done with her and your personal connection to those with disabilities.
Yeah, so my niece, her name's Maya. She was born with CP, cerebral palsy, and it was noticeable right away when she was born because she had fluid buildup in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And at 3 days old, I think she went in for like brain surgery to get a shunt put in, and then they have it to drain the fluid into her stomach. And she was very blessed. She doesn't like, she's... How old is she now? 12, I guess. She's, you cannot even tell that she has CP. She doesn't have any really restrictions besides her one leg and her one arm a little bit, but she goes to physio for that. There's no, you know, problems with speech or, you know, anything like that. Even as growing up, she was always asking me, she goes, you know, Britt, let's have a dance party. I want to have a dance party. I want to have a dance off. Like, she just always was moving, and she wanted to do like gymnastics, and she wanted to do absolutely everything she could. And even at one point, I think when she was younger, she was playing soccer. Like, she was very fortunate that way. But as she got older, you could definitely see the CP and how it affected her leg. It was a little bit shorter, and when she'd walk, it was kind of like with a limp almost.
Andy calls it a swagger.
Yeah, it's definitely a swagger. That I'm going to use that from now on for sure. She definitely had a swagger when she walks. So, yeah, so last year she actually went through a major surgery where they literally like stended her leg. They moved, I don't know if they moved muscles or anything like that, but like they fixed the tendons and ligaments and pretty much anything. She had a giant hole in the bottom of her foot for a long time. But yeah, she came through that with flying colors, and she's unstoppable now, that's for sure. But even when she was in the hospital, because she was in there for about, I think about 2 weeks maybe, and then even when she got home, you know, she had to rest a lot. But I'd go and I'd sit with her because I was on my reading week, and give her parents a little bit of a break to either go, you know, if they had to do their own things, whether that's laundry or keeping up with other habits, or even just, you know, being able to go downstairs and get a coffee. So I'd sit with her, and even though she slept a lot, I thought it was good to just, you know, put the podcast on in the background. And when she was awake and we weren't doing anything, because you don't have good Wi-Fi in the hospital, you know, I'd be like, let's listen to this podcast I downloaded. And, you know, just like, we can just talk. We don't have to like sit there and listen to it. Like, but like, we can definitely, you know, reflect on it and just have it playing. And it might make you feel a little good to know that, like, you know, you can still be unstoppable. Like, you will come through this no problem. And I think it really did benefit her, because listening to it, she's like, these people have cerebral palsy too. And I was like, yep. She goes, she just kind of looked at me like, I feel like she felt like she could, you know, listening to the podcast, it made her feel like she could do anything, I think, in a sense.
Wow.
Especially when you're kind of low in the hospital, you just had surgery, you're in pain, you're not at home, you kind of feel kind of crappy, right? So I think it lifted her spirits a little to know that, if these guys can make a podcast and they can do whatever and talk about disability, I can literally do anything I want to. If I want to be a gymnast, I'm going to be a gymnast. If I want to do this, I'll do this. Like, she just, it just kind of gave her that little bit of fire that she needed, I think.
Wow. That's heavy stuff. What do you think about that, boys?
That's awesome. First of all, I wanted to, Maya is an amazing name. That's my daughter's name. That's fantastic. And, yeah, no, if you're listening, Maya, hello. I think that's really cool. And if there's anything we can do program-wise, if you want to look to get into anything, Chad and I both have been around Hamilton for a little while, so we're kind of tapped into a lot of different things. But
And Brett knows Chad Owens from the Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah.
Sure. I think it's really cool. Yeah, we've said multiple times already, we don't necessarily gear the podcast towards anybody, but if we can inspire people, younger generations, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. That's really cool.
So. Yeah, we're very proud of her. Even, you know, like, it's not like you just get the surgery and everything's good after. She had to literally learn how to walk after, yeah. You know, like, properly. Yeah. So, and that was a big thing for her to go through too. Like, you know, it's little things that make up this whole machine almost, if you will, in the sense of the human body. And, you know, I think just her perseverance through it all, it's very admiring, even from my standpoint as being her aunt. Like, I couldn't, like, just the resilience she had, I don't even know if I could have that much, you know. She just never gave up, and it was good to see her go through that. I was very proud of her.
But that's also a testament to the family dynamic and who she's been around her entire life.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, she spends a lot of time with us. Like, she lives kind of like down the street from me almost. So she's at my house, like, before the whole COVID pandemic, like, right. At least five times a week, six times a week. So,
wow. That's so cool.
Yeah, our family's very, we're very intricate with each other. We spend a lot of time together, so...
Yeah, Brett, I don't know if you had a thought you wanted to finish there, but there is, and you can feel free to jump in and cut me off. But I mean, I am a product of people who believed in me. And I think anybody can say that. Brett, when you were telling your story, her story really, about the surgery at 12 years old or, you know, 11 years old, immediately my head went back to being 13, 14, having these massive surgeries that are really par for the course with CP. And Andy, I'm sure you could speak to some of those as well. And there's a lot of rehab and a lot of downtime. And it's absolutely amazing that we were used as some kind of motivational tool to provide some, you know, and I mean, not that we strive for this, but it's amazing to be able to provide some sort of hope in no doubt what was a dark time. I'm not surprised at all, not even knowing her, but I'm not surprised at all that you found the strength to persevere through it, because that's what people like us, and I use that term loosely, have to do. We have to find inner strength. And Brett, you are literally probably the, you know, one of the most strongest people I know in terms of inner strength and some of the things that you have had to face and battle through and climb yourself out of. And it's amazing to be a small part of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know how many surgeries I had, but when I got old enough to say I don't want to, I just stopped doing it.
The surgeries?
I was like, I'll do my own physio, not my own. Like, I didn't.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
You can laugh at him. He edits it anyway, so he'll just cut that part out.
I'll do my own physio. I'll show you.
I'll exercise and. Like, I just hated the surgery, so maybe don't tell Maya that part.
yeah. I think by the time I was, you know, mature enough to say, no, I don't want to do the surgery, mine were pretty much done anyways. But I'm like you, Andy. I can't. And Brett, I'm sure you could speak to the spina bifida experience as well. You lose count. I had a moment you know, just before all this COVID stuff, I was going to get some stuff with my stomach looked at, some tests done on my stomach and some digestive issues I've been having. And they were talking to me about my medical history. I'm like, I don't know. I forget how many surgeries I've had. And, you know, do you have any metal implants? Yes. How much time do you have?
Well, my standard answer for that now is just call the Children's Hospital. They have my records on file. But honestly, like, I don't really recall how many surgeries I had growing up that were routine, if you can call them routine.
Yeah.
I certainly remember some of the surgeries that I required as an adult due to blatant ignorance or stupidity.
So you were the opposite of Andy. Andy, as he got older, said, no, I don't need that. I'll do it myself. And yours were the result. You were your own worst enemy in the sense.
I slipped and fell getting out of my car, transferring to my wheelchair, and shattered my femur in three places when I was 24, 25 or 26.
Oh my God.
but I mean that sort of stuff, it builds character. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. They tried to teach me how to walk again, even though I told them that I was pretty much wheelchair bound.
Yeah.
Little things like that. And people are probably listening to this and they're horrified. They tried to teach you how to walk, even though they knew you were in a wheelchair. Yeah. But I mean, they didn't know any better. They thought that they were doing me a favor.
Right.
I want to get into that on another episode. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll unpack that one later because I've got actually a similar femur story. Brett, we have both broken our femurs. Lucky for us. Except I can feel all of my legs. Could you feel? I guess you were in a lot of pain too, but I don't know.
I felt the initial break.
Yeah.
And then I went into shock in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Girl. Oh, Lord. I could not.
Or just Brit is like, what did I sign up for today? What is this?
to be honest,
broken femur, shit.
To be honest with you, I think the shock happened because I tried to actually get up.
Oh well, yeah. I didn't realize how hurt I was, and again, we'll save this. Maybe we'll come back to this, but I didn't realize how hurt I was until I tried to move too, and I was like, ooh, that's not good. Oh yes, so there you go. That makes 50% of the current listener, our current people on this podcast who are recording tonight that have broken a femur. So, congratulations to you and I, Brett.
Oh my Lord,
Brett. As you've said, you listened obviously because you wrote your paper on this. One of the things we like to do, and I would go as far to say it's the favorite segment of everybody on the show, is the offside. Being such a big part of Maya's life, do you have anything that sticks out in terms of an offside moment?
So, those offside moments are those sort of head shaking moments. Have you been out, out with Maya or had any moments with Maya where you just kind of shake your head at the way she gets perceived, or you know those kind of moments? Like, you know, did you really just say that? Anything like that that comes to mind?
Not really, besides, like, is she your kid?
Not really? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, no, she's not my kid. Like,
yeah, I was going to say the age difference between you guys is
12 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're double her age. Is she your kid?
Yeah, so I'm like, she's not my child. But no, because, like, I don't know, she just, I've never personally never noticed it. Maybe, like, my sister, her mother might have. But mostly when, you know, she had a broken leg, it was like, how'd you break your leg, you know? But it was more, you had to go into it, like, oh, I was a surgery. Oh, why'd you get surgery on it? Well, I have CP. What is CP? So it's just kind of those following questions to it. But besides that, like I said, she was very blessed. She, you couldn't necessarily tell too much, especially when she was younger and she'd walk with a swagger. It wasn't that big of a swagger.
I love that you're using the word swagger in regular conversation now.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. And, but, you know, like she just, I personally have never noticed anything like that. But I'm not saying like there's never been those times. I'm sure there has been throughout her little life, but. Not that I've noticed, but I do know that she was dreading a second surgery when you guys were talking about how many surgeries you guys have both had.
Yeah.
Or all three of you, really, for that matter. And she was dreading a second surgery. She's like, I don't want to do it, but if it's going to, you know, be a benefit, of course. But she's come so well with her physio that they told her she doesn't need second surgery. So that was a big accomplishment for her too.
Well, I think we should get to saying goodnight here, Britt. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on and sharing your perspective. I won't lie, it has been good for our egos, I think. And Brett was speaking of his ego and Andy's ego, and we were joking about egos earlier. But if anything, it's amazing to know that this thing, this podcast, this Team Ability No Excuses podcast is reaching people in different ways. And it's amazing to hear those stories that you have shared from someone who basically stumbled onto it and used it as a source for a paper, to now listening to it with Maya. So Maya, if you're listening again, we hope that you continue to listen and find inspiration. And maybe one day we'll tape an episode with you too, and you can share your own personal stories as well. That'd be pretty great. It's been awesome having you, Britt, and we really appreciate you taking some time out of your evening, being an essential worker yourself as we navigate these chaotic times. And so thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I had a great time talking to all you guys.
It is an absolute pleasure. You have made us feel good about ourselves too. So this is the part of the show where I tell you that if you are happen to be listening to the first time tonight, because you're a friend of Britt's and you wanted to check this thing out, you can go back and check out any old episode that you would like. They're all available on all major podcast platforms. We certainly appreciate all of your support, and we hope that there is something in this little podcast for everybody. So on behalf of the No Excuses team, this is me saying good night. Thanks again, Britt, and to everybody else, have a great evening. Cheers.